Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. I want to read verses 1 through 3. This message is kind of following up on last Sunday night's message. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you again on this beautiful Lord's Day for the opportunity to come together. Thank you for the country we live in that gives us the freedom that we can worship as we choose openly and without fear. I pray you'd bless our country, and Father, I pray you'd keep our freedoms for us, and that you would bring revival to America, bring us back to you, my Lord. And now, my Father, we thank you for this place, and for these people, and for this time, and ask that you'd bless us by your Holy Spirit, and open the lips of your servant to speak, and open our hearts to receive the Word of God, and work in our lives, and in our hearts and minds, and do a work in the world through us, and with us. We just ask your blessing, guide us, help us, strengthen us, encourage us. We'll thank in Jesus' name. Amen. God is asking us to do something in light of something. The first thing he's asking us to do is, in verse 1, lay aside all malice and guile. Now, that word malice is bad attitudes toward people, anger, things like that. All guile, that's lying, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And so he says, what I want you to do is I want you to lay these things aside. In other words, take them from your life and lay them over here and don't carry them around with you. Number two, he wants us to, in verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word. And he's asking us to do that in light of verse number 3 where he says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. And he's saying here, in light of God's graciousness, lay aside these things and desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of things in our lives we need to lay aside. This is just one small list. But we do need to desire the sincere milk of the Lord. I wonder how many times we're willing to lay some things aside so we can spend some time in the Word. Laying some things aside, some bad attitudes perhaps, or hard hearts, or busy schedules, or demanding things that are upon our life, we lay them aside so we can desire the Word of God. And we should do this in light of the graciousness of God. That word graciousness says here, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That word gracious is the Greek word Christos. It means good. If you have tasted that God is good. Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, there is none good but one, that is God. And so that is, there's not a single creature or not a single living being in all of everywhere and everything that exists that is intrinsically good except God. You and I can do good and we can be good, but only God is good. Just like He is light, just like He is love, He is good. It's who He is. It's what He is. It's His essence. It's His character. It's His very being. All that is good and all that has goodness is from God. Without God, think about it, there'd be no light. Without God, there'd be no love, and without God, there'd be no good. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Now, the question that is prompted by verse 3 is this. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now that word tasted, it is speaking figuratively to experience. So it's saying, have you experienced that God is gracious? If you're saved, then you have. If you've been born again into God's family, then you have experienced the graciousness of God. Because you shouldn't be saved. And you shouldn't be born into the family of God. But you are. Because of God's goodness and God's gracious kindness. But as it happens sometimes in life, we lose the taste of the graciousness of God. Life has a way of beating a person down, doesn't it? I meet people here and there, and eventually someone says to me, hey, how's life treating you? And I always say, well, life isn't treating me so good, but God is. Amen? This life might not treat you well. This old world isn't going to treat you well. But Jesus is good. He's always good. He never changes. You know, He's been so gracious to me. He knew me at my worst and was willing to save me anyway by His great grace. He's not ashamed to call me His own. I know what I was, and I know what I am, and the incredible taste of His amazing grace still lingers in my soul. Amen. Have you ever tasted anything that was extra delicious? And you'll just get a, you know, you'll be somewhere, and all of a sudden you'll get a taste for it, right? You can remember what it tasted like, and you go, oh, my, I could go for one of those. I'm thinking about something right now. Matter of fact, I'm making a phone call as soon as we're done with the service. I'm going to have a to-go order waiting for me. But you know, the grace of God is the same way, isn't it? If you've tasted of the grace of God, it's like a taste that lingers in your soul. And you never forget how gracious God's been to you. You never forget how good God's been to you. And you want to have more of that gracious kindness of God. I tasted the graciousness of Jesus Christ when I heard of His grace to save, and it tasted pretty good to me at the time, and it still tastes just as good today. He looked and saw me, a dirty old lost sinner, and I tasted of His graciousness, and He changed my taste buds. Amen? And now I have a taste for things I never had a taste for before. And I have a distaste for things I used to have a taste for. Amen. See, I've tasted of the graciousness of God. And He said, because you've tasted of the graciousness of God, then lay aside malice. And lay aside guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings and desire the sincere milk of the Word. If you want to get another taste of that grace, you've got to get in the book where the milk and the meat is. Peter's telling us that if the grace of salvation tasted so good, we should all want more, and we get more when we drink in the pure Word of God, which enables us to grow. Tonight I want to show you three areas in which we're told in the Bible to grow, three areas in which we can grow, and how we will grow by a healthy diet of the Word of God for the spiritual man. The Bible says we're to grow in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, just go over there, a couple pages to your right. The first thing we're supposed to grow is this. Number one, grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're told to grow in grace. Now this word for grace here is charis. It means graciousness of manner. I think we could all grow in a little bit of graciousness of manner. How about that, huh? Aren't there times we're not very gracious? Our manner is not very gracious. Sometimes our mannerisms are not good. It means graciousness of manner. Now listen, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So God's saying, I want you to grow in this gracious manner that is the result of my influence on your heart. So I get from that that the more influence that God, we allow God to have on our heart, the more gracious we will be in our manner. We'll become like Jesus. And he's the one who is ultimate graciousness. Now, if you look this word up, it says on the part of the bestower, it speaks of the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds, graciousness, loving kindness, and goodwill. And isn't that how the grace of God is? God was friendly toward us when we were his enemies. And he extended his gracious, loving kindness and goodwill toward us by coming to earth and becoming one of us and being willing to lay down his life and shed his blood for our sins. That's the graciousness of the bestower. He didn't wait for us to deserve it. He didn't wait for us to earn it. He didn't even wait for us to ask for it. But in his gracious kindness, he bestowed it. This is the kind of grace that we're to have operating in our lives because he is our life. Is Christ our life? Paul said, "Christ who is our, when Christ who is our life appears, he is our life. We have life in him. And we should have his grace operating in our lives because he is our life. We are to bestow grace to others because we ourselves have received grace and are the beneficiaries of grace and have tasted the graciousness of God ourselves." It's kind of like this. When I'm with my wife and I eat something that's delicious, I say, "Oh, honey, you got to taste this. This is delicious." And I want to share that tasty thing with her. That's how we're supposed to be with the grace of God. We've tasted of the graciousness of God. We've received of the gracious. It's like we have this grace of God. And we're saying, "Wow, this is so awesome. Here, you try some of it. Here, take a bite of this. Taste this. Experience this. It's awesome." And so on the part of the bestower, it's a graciousness that extends to the receiver that which the deceiver does not necessarily reserve or earn, but the bestower is kind enough to present. On the part of the receiver, it's a sense of favor bestowed which generates a feeling of gratitude. So I want to ask you, have you forgotten God's favor? Have you lost a sense of gratitude? That's a dangerous place to be. Don't ever forget the favor that God showed you by saving your wretched soul. You are unworthy to be saved. You have nothing to offer, nothing to offer God for the salvation of your soul. But he in his favor and his gracious kindness saved your wretched soul and gave you the gift of eternal life. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever lose a sense of gratitude, thankfulness. That's all part of this idea of grace on the part of the receiver. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we're to grow in this graciousness. As we live our Christian lives and as we grow older in Christ, we should have a greater graciousness about us. A greater graciousness of manner. A greater likeness of Christ. Number one, towards others by extending grace to them. And toward God by being thankful for his grace toward us. You see, our thankfulness for God's grace should increase, not decrease. You know, I'm more thankful now that I'm saved than when I got saved. I appreciate it now more than I did then. When a person understands and appreciates and is thankful for the graciousness of God toward him or her, then he or she can in turn be gracious towards others. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You're right there. Look at verse 17. He said verse 18, but grow in grace. Look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. So what's the Lord helping us understand? We find out what happens to Christians who do not grow in grace. They can be led away with the error of the wicked. And they can fall from their own steadfastness. He said, this is what can happen in verse 17, but it doesn't have to happen. We don't have to fall from our own steadfastness. We don't have to be led away by the error of the wicked. We can grow in grace instead. We should be growing in the graciousness of the Lord Jesus. Growing in grace makes us more gracious. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He says we can have more grace. He gives more grace. That phrase, more grace, is also saying greater grace. He gives a greater grace. Look, I have grace, but if I am humble before God and I want more grace, he'll give me more grace. When I recognize I need more grace and I desire to have more grace, the Bible says he'll give you greater grace. He'll give you more grace. But if we're proud and we think we've got it all nailed down and we don't think we need God's grace, then you don't get more grace. He resisteth the proud. God gives more grace to those who will listen to the Scripture and act so that the Holy Spirit may have his way within them. You and I can be more gracious by receiving more grace from God through his word and by his spirit. So we should be growing in grace. Are you growing in grace? Are you more like Jesus? Are you more gracious in your manner? Are you able to bestow to others grace and favor? Number two, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Not only can we grow in grace, and we should want to grow in grace, but we should also be growing in faith. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul the Apostle writing says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Isn't that it? He said, your faith is growing. Paul is saying to these people, he said, man, we're really excited. Why? Because we've heard about your grace, your faith, that it's growing exceedingly. Amen. Not just growing, but growing exceedingly. These people were growing spiritually by leaps and bounds, and their faith was growing fast. Paul's commending the Thessalonians because their faith is growing. You know what the Lord's disciples asked the Lord in Luke 17:5? They said this, Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that the need of every one of us? Sure it is. We have faith, but our faith needs to increase. Our trust, our believing God, and our ability to wait on the Lord are all part of our faith, and that all needs to increase. I've told you before, I often feel like that man who said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I have faith, but Lord, I need to have more faith. Lord, I'm serving you, but I want to serve you better. Lord, I'm living for you, but I want to live for you better. I need more. I'd like my faith to increase. Faith needs to grow. When we want things to grow, we put them in an environment that will facilitate their growth, do we not? We do it with our children. We do it with plants. We do it with animals. We should do it with our spirit. We need to put ourselves in the right environment that will facilitate our spiritual growth and thereby the growing of our faith. We're concerned about our children's nutrition. We're concerned about our children's education. We're concerned about their health. And we do our very best to put them in the best environment for their good. And we try to avoid environments that will do them harm. Am I not correct? Shouldn't we do that with our own spirit as well? Most of us allow ourselves to be exposed to stuff that we would never allow our children to be exposed to. What did he say? Laying aside what? Hypocrisies. We don't say to our children, do as I say, not as I do. We're supposed to be able to say to our children, follow me as I follow Christ. We're supposed to be able to say to our children, you do as I do. Be followers together of me, Paul said. But we need to have ourselves in an environment where our grace and our faith is growing, not where it's being destroyed. Amen. The disciples asked the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. And the Holy Spirit replied in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're sitting here today and you say, boy, I want my faith to increase, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know how your faith increases? Preaching. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I didn't write it, God did. It's not my plan. To be honest with you, if it was my plan, I'd have probably tried something different than this. But this is his plan. He created us. He knows what works. The church is the right environment. And the brothers and sisters are the right companions that will foster a growth in faith. Amen. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:15, he's writing there and he's hoping for and waiting for the faith of the Corinthian believers to be increased. He says to the Thessalonians, he says, you know, we're giving thanks to God because your faith is increasing. He says to the Corinthians, well, when your faith increases, we're still waiting for you over here, you Corinthians. You Thessalonians, we're praising the Lord for you. But you Corinthians, we're waiting on you. Which side are you on? That word increased, when Paul said the word increased, it is actually the Greek word oxano. It means to grow up. And so Paul was saying to the Corinthians, when your faith is increased, in other words, when your faith grows up, when you grow up and have big boy faith, huh? When you grow up and have big girl faith, faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. So we can increase our faith by the word of God, and we can increase our faith by experience with God. Amen. Can't we? Yeah. Number three, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, same verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Here we find that with a growing faith, the Thessalonians also had an abounding love. You see the correlation? The word aboundeth here is the Greek word pleonadzo. It means this, to make or become more, to increase. And so he's saying what's happening is I've seen your faith is growing exceedingly, and because your faith is growing exceedingly, I'm also seeing your love for one another growing and increasing. And so they had faith exceeding and they had love abounding. Why? Because they were growing. There seems to be a correlation between growing in faith and love increasing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. And so here the prayer is that I want God to enable you to grow in your love. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound. There's that same word, increase. Your love may increase. Your love may grow more and more. The Lord is able to make us grow in love when we allow our faith to trust Him with our heart and our emotions. But sometimes we close off our hearts to the Lord and thereby to His love because we do not want to love. Sometimes we close our heart off to what God's trying to tell us because we don't want to have to respond and be responsible for what he's telling us. Go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You know that verse, but I want you to look at it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And look what the Bible says about God in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Look what it says. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When are we willing to commend our love to others? While they're yet sinners? That's when God commended his love toward us. You see, we'll know we've grown in grace when we can commend our love to others while they're still sinners. We would hardly do otherwise. Look at verse 7. God tells us that. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us when we were rotten, lousy sinners. When we were as bad as we could be. When we were as dirty as we could be. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing grace. It's amazing love. And God wants us to grow in love so that we can demonstrate this kind of love to others. He says here, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, and maybe peradventure someone might die for a good man. But God didn't die for righteous people. And God didn't die for good people. God died for sinners. Why? Because he loved us. That's how he commended his love. When we get a better understanding of the love of God toward us, then we will grow in our ability to love the unlovely, just as he did when he loved you. You know he loved the unlovely when he loved you, don't you? And then he made you his beloved. That's incredible. He took someone who is unlovely and made them his beloved. How? By grace. You see how he wants us to grow in grace? How he wants us to grow in love? Because when we do, we're more like him. And then the last one, we go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 again, and let's look at verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We're supposed to grow in grace. We're supposed to grow in faith. We're supposed to grow in love. And then we're supposed to grow in knowledge. Look what it says. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're to grow in grace and in faith and in love and then in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word knowledge here is gnosis. It means primarily a seeking to know. You hear that? It's primarily a seeking to know. In other words, I want to know more. I want to know more about Jesus, and I want to know him better. Because when we know about him, and we know about him better, we'll love him more. That's how we grow in love, too. The more we know Jesus, the more we love him. The Bible speaks of Jesus, says, whom having not seen, ye love. How's that possible? By the love of God that he has shed abroad in our hearts, by the reading of the Word of God and getting to know Jesus from the Word, desiring that sincere milk of the Word. The Lord is encouraging a growth in our seeking to know the Lord. You know what Paul said? Paul said that I may know him. Now, I don't know anybody that knew Jesus better than Paul. But he said that I may know him. What does that mean? He was seeking to know Jesus better. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to seek to know Jesus more, seek to know Jesus better. We're supposed to grow in knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there should be a natural growth in our knowledge of Christ. A natural growth that happens, number one, by learning. When we read the Word of God and when we hear the Word of God, it should be a natural growth in our knowledge. Every time we come together and we hear the Word of God, there should be some little thing that we can carry away and say, oh, boy, I learned that. Or, wow, I'm glad I heard that. Or, wow, that helped me. If there isn't, you're not paying attention. If there isn't, you're not open. Because there always is. Even if we've heard it before. It's amazing. But then the second way we grow in our knowledge of Christ is by experience. As we live our lives and we see Him in our lives and we experience His graciousness, we come to know Him better. You know, you come to know Jesus, you trust Him in some little thing, and He comes through. And that gives you a little greater faith to trust Him in a bigger thing. And every time you trust Him and every time you depend on Him, you learn more about Him. And you know what helps us learn more about Jesus? Troubles and trials. Storms. The disciples learned more in the storms about who Jesus was and what Jesus could do than when they were walking with Him and watching the miracles. He said, you considered not the miracle of the loaves and fishes. But boy, when they were on that stormy sea and Jesus came walking, they said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey Him. They were speechless. They learned something about Jesus in that storm they didn't learn in serving. You say, well, why? You know what? Look out and see Jesus. Maybe He's just trying to help you know Him a little better. Maybe He wants you to see what He can do, and He's saying, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just let me, if you'll just see me, you'll know me. Sometimes we're in our boat and we're too busy with the boat and we're too busy with the oars and we're too busy with the buckets trying to bail out the boat. We never look up and see Jesus standing on the water. But you know what? Aren't these four things really the things that we as parents or grandparents desire for our own children? Don't we want our children to grow in gracious behavior? Don't we want our children to grow in their trust? Don't we want the children to grow in knowledge? And don't we want our children to grow in love? They start out very immature in all these areas, but with proper guidance and teaching and a good environment and a good example to follow, they grow and mature in each area. And then we're proud of them. And people say, well, you really did a good job with your children. You know what? God's our Father. Amen. And we're His children. He has the same desire for us. He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to grow in love. And He wants us to grow in knowledge so we can be mature children and He can get to glory. You understand? Amen. When someone says to you, boy, your kids turned out okay, boy, you get to glory, right? Well, whenever we turn out okay because we've grown in these areas, God gets the glory. And isn't that what it's all about? Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And as we think about the things we've heard tonight, I want to ask you, dear Christians, where could you use some growth? In graciousness? Faith, love, knowledge? Are you conscious of your environment? Is the environment that you allow your spirit and your soul to be in, is it conducive to spiritual growth? Are you open to growth? Are you open to change? Are you open to grow in love and grace and faith and knowledge? Or have you closed off your heart and said, Lord, I just don't want it. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, Lord, here am I. Why don't you open my heart and open my life? I want to grow in all these areas because I want you to get the glory. I want you, if I can put it this way, Lord, I want you to be proud of me. I don't want you to be ashamed of me. And maybe tonight you're not saved. You're watching, you're listening. You cannot grow in these areas until you've been born. Born again spiritually into the family of God by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ as your substitute who was willing to pay for your sin with his own life and his own blood. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, the possibility of growth begins with life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Until you have Jesus, you have no life, spiritual life, and you cannot grow in these areas. Tonight, before it's too late, why don't you call upon the name of the Lord? Why don't you confess your sin to God and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and ask Him, call on Him right now, wherever you are, call on Him to be your Savior. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the Word of God. We're supposed to desire it as babes to grow thereby, but sometimes, Lord, we're not interested in eating. Sometimes we're more interested in other things. I just pray you'd help us tonight to have these desires to grow and grow by the Word of God so that we can be pleasing to you and you can be proud of us and not ashamed. Father, I don't want to be, the Bible talks about being ashamed at the appearing of Christ. God help us in these last days not to fall from our own steadfastness, but to bring you glory. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our hymn number 550, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. And maybe he softly and tenderly called you tonight and said, you need to grow in grace. You need to have a little more graciousness of manner like Jesus. Maybe he said you need to grow in faith or in love. Or perhaps he said you need to grow in knowledge. Why don't you come and say, Lord, here am I. Paul said, the Lord make you to grow. Lord, make me grow. And he'll make you grow through his word and by his spirit. If you need to come and pray, feel free to do so. If you have any questions about going to heaven, how to be saved, how to be born again, come out from your place and meet me right here. We'll help you, all right? As we sing.